Welcome to Zikwa Dafsi Money Member by Avram Goldar and today Masechus Bava Basra Daf Dalet, the first parak hashutafin. This parak has been generously sponsored by Zeichah Nishmas Avram Ben Yitzchak. May his neshama have an aliyah and his eschus for Rufua Shlema for Alter Ben Sion Wolf Ben Tzipora. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, after Herod's murderous rise to power from slavery, Herod killed all the rabbis because they disqualified a slave from being a king. He spared Bava Ben Vuta to seek his advice, but blinded him. After attempting to trick Bava into cursing him and finding that he would not, he regretted having killed the rabbis and asked Bava how he could achieve atonement. Bava told him, Hukiba Orsho Olam, he extinguished the light of the world by killing the Talmid Chachamim, since Torah is compared to light. Yelch V'yasuk Bor Orsho Olam, he should go and occupy himself with restoring the light of the world by rebuilding the base of Mikdash, which is also compared to light. Herod expressed fear of the Roman government, and Bava told him to send an emissary to seek permission, and in the 3 years necessary to travel to Rome, remain there, and return, the rebuilding could be completed. Herod did so, and the Gemara records the Romans' authorities' rebuke. The Gemara says, Mishol Rab Binyan Hordus, will Rab Binyan Naam Yamav. Whoever did not see Herod's building never saw a beautiful building in his life, and its multicolored marble design is described. Point number two, the Gemara wonders how Bava Ben Vuta could provide advice to Herod to help him attain forgiveness, since Daniel was punished for helping Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel advised Nebuchadnezzar to give charity to the poor, and Nebuchadnezzar thereby forestalled his punishment for 12 months. Two answers are given. Number one, Shani Avdad Dichai B'mitzvahs. A slave like Herod is different since he's subject to some mitzvahs and so may be assisted in attaining forgiveness. Or number two, Shani Beis HaMikdash. Rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash is different to Lo Malchus Lo Mispanei because without the king undertaking the project, it would not be built. In explaining where Daniel was punished, the Gemara says that Hasach in Megillas Esther was actually Daniel. However, although this fits according to the opinion that he was called Hasach, Shechasachuch Megduaso, because they cut him, Hasach, from his greatness, but according to the one who said the reason was Shekol Divrei Malchus Nechtachin Al Piv, that all government affairs were decided by him, this is not a punishment. The Gemara answers that he was punished by being thrown into a lion's den. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, a monkey was chaver mishal shruchoisav. If one surrounds his friend's field on three of its sides and fence those three sides, the inner neighbor is exempt from paying. Rabbi Yossi says, im amad begader zeravis, if he, the inner neighbor, arose and fenced the fourth side, magalgin lav as a kol, we place on him the obligation to contribute to all the fences. Shmuel rules like Rabbi Yossi, regardless of who enclosed the fourth side. Rav Huna says he pays lefi mishagada according to what his neighbor fenced with, meaning half, regardless of materials used. Chiya bar Rav says he pays lefi dmei kani bazol according to the cost of cheaply bought reeds, since they would have sufficed to enclose his field. The Tanakhama implies that if the outside neighbor, the makif, would later enclose the fourth side, the inner neighbor, the nikaf, would have to contribute to the cost, since he now benefits from the enclosure. Five interpretations are given of the Malchokas. Number one, according to Rav Huna, they argue if he pays in full or for cheap reeds. Number two, they argue if he only pays agur netira, a watchman's hire, or for a reed enclosure. Number three, they argue if he pays for the first three fences, which initially gave him no benefit. And four and five, they argue if he must pay even where the makif encloses the fourth side or only if the Nikav does. Two opposite versions of this answer are given. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, after Herod's murderous rise to power from slavery, Herod killed all the rabbis because they disqualified a slave from being king. He spared Bava Ben Vuta to seek his advice, but blinded him. After attempting to trick Bava into cursing him and finding that he would not, he regretted having killed the rabbis and asked Bava how he could achieve atonement. Bava told him, Hukiba Orsho Olam, he extinguished the light of the world by killing the Talmid Chachamim, since Torah is compared to light. Yelch V'yasuk Bor Orsho Olam, he should go and occupy himself with restoring the light of the world by rebuilding the base of Mikdash, which is also compared to light. Herod expressed fear of the Roman government, and Bava told him to send an emissary to seek permission, and in the 3 years necessary to travel to Rome, remain there, and return, the rebuilding could be completed. Herod did so, and the Gemara records the Romans' authorities' rebuke. The Gemara says, Mishol Rab Binyan Hordus, will Rab Binyan Naam Yamav. Whoever did not see Herod's building never saw a beautiful building in his life, and its multicolored marble design is described. Point number two, the Gemara wonders how Bava Ben Vuta could provide advice to Herod to help him attain forgiveness, since Daniel was punished for helping Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel advised Nebuchadnezzar to give charity to the poor, and Nebuchadnezzar thereby forestalled his punishment for 12 months. Two answers are given. Number one, Shani Avdad Dichai B'mitzvahs. A slave like Herod is different since he's subject to some mitzvahs and so may be assisted in attaining forgiveness. Or number two, Shani Beis HaMikdash. Rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash is different to Lo Malchus Lo Mispanei because without the king undertaking the project, it would not be built. In explaining where Daniel was punished, the Gemara says that Hasach in Megillas Esther was actually Daniel. However, although this fits according to the opinion that he was called Hasach, Shechasachuch Megduaso, because they cut him, hasach from his greatness, but according to the one who said the reason was shekol divrei malchus nechtachin al piv, that all government affairs were decided by him, this is not a punishment. The Gemara answers that he was punished by being thrown into a lion's den. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, a monkey was chaver moshal shruchoisav. If one surrounds his friend's field on three of its sides and fence those three sides, the inner neighbor is exempt from paying. Rabbi Yossi says, im amad begader zeravis, if he, the inner neighbor, arose and fenced the fourth side, magalgin lav as a kol, we place on him the obligation to contribute to all the fences. Shmuel rules like Rabbi Yossi, regardless of whom closed the fourth side. Rav Huna says he pays lefim yishagadah according to what his neighbor fenced with, meaning half, regardless of materials used. Chiya bar Rav says he pays lefim dmei kani bazol according to the cost of cheaply bought reeds, since they would have sufficed to enclose his field. The Tanakhama implies that if the outside neighbor, the makif, would later enclose the fourth side, the inner neighbor, the nikaf, would have to contribute to the cost, since he now benefits from the enclosure. Five interpretations are given of the Malchokas. Number one, according to Rav Huna, they argue if he pays in full or for cheap reeds. Number two, they argue if he only pays agur netira, a watchman's hire, or for a reed enclosure. Number three, they argue if he pays for the first three fences, which initially gave him no benefit. And four and five, they argue if he must pay even where the makif encloses the fourth side or only if the nikav does. Two opposite versions of this answer are given. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Dalet, and our standard Siman is a Delet, a door. So here goes. The door maker delivering an ornate door for a temple, ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, who was allowed to advise him because if the king won't build it, no one will. Got a call from a man who wanted to order a door for a fence he just put in, after his neighbor who surrounded him had already fenced in three sides. Once again, slow motion. The door maker, that must be Daf Dalet, Delet, door. The doormaker delivering an ornate door for a temple, ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, which reminds us, after Herod's murderous rise to power from slavery, Herod killed all the rabbis because they disqualified a slave from being king. He spared Baba ben Vuta to seek his advice, but blinded him. After attempting to trick Baba into cursing him and finding that he would not, he regretted having killed the rabbis and asked Baba how he could achieve atonement. Baba told him, Hu Akiba or Sha'olam, he extinguished the light of the world by killing the Talmud Chachamim, since Torah is compared to light. Yelk V'yasuk or Sha'olam, he should go and occupy himself with restoring the light of the world by rebuilding the base of Mikdash, which is also compared to light. So the door maker delivering an ornate door for a temple, ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, who was allowed to advise him because if the king won't build it, no one will. Which reminds us, the Gemara wonders how Baba ben Vuta could provide advice to Herod to help him attain forgiveness, since Daniel was punished for helping Nebuchadnezzar. Two answers are given. Number one, Shani Avdet the Yechai v'mitzvahs, a slave like Herod is different since he is subject to some mitzvahs and so may be assisted in attaining forgiveness. And number two, Shani Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash is different, Dilo Malchus L'mispinei, because without the king undertaking the project, it would not be built. So the doormaker delivering an ornate door for a temple, ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, who was allowed to advise him because if the king won't build it, no one will, got a call from a man who wanted to order a door for a fence he just put in, after his neighbor who surrounded him had already fenced in three sides. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, if one surrounds his friend's field on three of its sides and fenced those three sides, the inner neighbor is exempt from paying. Rabbi Yossi says, im amad v'gadar zeravis, if he, the inner neighbor, arose and fenced the fourth side, magalgin lav as a kol, we place on him the obligation to contribute to all the fences. So once again, the doormaker delivering an ornate door for a temple ordered by a slave turned king at the advice of a sole remaining rabbi, who was allowed to advise him because if the king won't build it, no one will, got a call from a man who wanted to order a door for a fence he just put in, after his neighbor who surrounded him had already fenced in three sides. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf kuf yud ches. So the same daf kuf yud ches is kichel. So here goes. The avid kichel maker, kichel, that must be on daf kuf yud ches. The avid kichel maker watching hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, which reminds us, Rabban said habanta behefker, whether watching onerous property acquires it is a malchokas tanaim. A Mishnah states, Shomei Svichei Shviz, those who guard the after Grus HaShemitah to use the Omer and Shtei Alechem are paid from the Trumas Alishka. Rav Yossi says, Harotz Misnadev Huv Shomer Chinam, whoever wants can volunteer and watch it for free. The sages respond that if so, Ein Boin Mishal Tzibur, the offerings will not come from the community but the watchman. Rav explains that the Tanakhama holds Habata acquires Hefker, so if the watchman is not paid, he will personally own the aftergross. Rav Yossi holds Habata does not acquire, so the public will acquire the gross when they harvest it. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which reminds us Abai said that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon all hold wherever the sages gave one permission to do something, and thereby caused damage, patu, he's exempt from paying. Rabbi Shimon taught in a mission regarding safety measurements given to prevent one's oven from starting a fire that one who follows these requirements is patu from any damage which may occur. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which thankfully a neighbor noticed as he was pulling out shoots growing out of the vertical slope between the gardens, which reminds us. The final mission states regarding two gardens, one above the other, and vegetables are growing in the vertical surface between them, so their roots are in the upper garden soil, but the shoot systems are in the lower garden's airspace. Reimer says they belong to the higher garden's owner, since we follow the nourishment from the upper garden. Reuna says they belong to the lower garden's owner. Rabbi Shimon has a third opinion. Anything the upper owner can stretch his hand and take belongs to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Daf Kuf Yotes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yotes is a kite. So here goes. When the Persian king saw a kite, that must mean on Daf Kuf Yotes. When the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were patur from orla, which reminds us. The Gemara quotes two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about shoots growing out of a trunk. In the second braisa discussing orla, Rabbi Meir says that all shoots, whether they grow from the trunk or their roots, are subject to orla because they're considered to be independent growth. Rabbi Yehuda says, meaning geza patur, a shoot growing from the trunk is exempt from orla because it's considered part of the original tree. But a shoot growing from the roots is subject to orla. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing of a tree trunk, which were putta from orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, which reminds us in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon taught that whatever the upper owner can reach belonged to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. In Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, they qualified this, provided that he does not need to strain himself to be able to reach them. Two questions were asked. If the upper owner can reach its shoot, but not its roots, or he can reach its roots, but not its shoot, because it's pointed downwards, is it considered within the reach of the higher garden's owner? The Gemara concludes, Teku. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, he proclaimed, Apirin Nimtie, to that beautiful kite, which reminds us, a friend, the scribe of Talmud Reish Lakish, said in Reish Lakish's name that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon that the upper owner keeps whatever he can reach, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Rabbi Shimon's ruling was told to Shur Malka, King Shapur, a Persian king who Rashi explains was an expert in dinim. He said, "Apriya nimtiye, or Rabbi Shimon, let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon." Daf Beis. So the Simmer Daf Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. The owner won the house's house. That must be on Daf Beis, bais, house. The owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, which reminds us the opening mission states, Hashutafim shiratzu lasus mechitzu b'chatzur, partners who agreed to make a partition in a courtyard they previously owned jointly, bonus the kosel be'emsa, build the wall in the center with half the wall on each partner's land. So the owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezekria Rav Shmei Hezek, which reminds us. The Gemara analyzes the first clause of the mission and explains, my mechitza, what is the mechitza the partners agreed to make? Guda, a wall. This usage is demonstrated from a Mishnah. This implies that they are only required to build a wall if they agree to do so. But if one partner wants to mark the border with wooden pegs, he's not compelled to build a wall. Alma Hezek real Rav Shmei Hezek. We see from here that visual damage by seeing a neighbor's private activities is not considered damage, so he's not required to avoid it. The Gemara asks, perhaps the word mechitza here means pluksa, a division, meaning that by merely agreeing to divide the property, each party must contribute towards building a wall, because Hezek Ria is considered damage. So the owner of one of the houses in a chatzur, who was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs, because he held that Hezek Ria Rav Shmei Hezek, and explained that the wall their neighbors built between their gardens was lest a neighbor harms it with Ayin Hara, which reminds us. The Gemara asks a series of questions challenging the assertion that Hezek Ria is not considered Hezek, and concludes with five exceptions where a wall must be built, one of them being a gina, a garden requires a wall, because Rav forbids standing by someone's field which contains a standing crop, lest he harm it with Ayin Hara. Daf Gimel. So the Simur Daf Gimel is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. When the partners of the camel rental business, camel, that must be on Daf Gimel, Gamal. When the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a Kenyan Chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, which reminds us, Ravasi explained in the Gemara's second version, that the partners divided a property, K'she'im Ba'din Chalukah, which was not subject to legal division, which means it was too small for either to demand a division, but they agreed to do so. The Gemara asks, but let them retract, since a mere verbal agreement to divide the Chatzar is not binding. Ravashi said the cases where this one went into his half of the chatzer and performed a kinyan chazaka, and this one went into his half and performed a kinyan chazaka. So, when the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a kinyan chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraksin in the first base of Mikdash, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a wall of gazis, plain stones, which is 4 amos tall, must be 5 tefachim wide. The Gemara wonders if this is the necessary ratio because the Amatraksin, the wall separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kodashim in the first base of Mikdash, was 30 amos high, but only 6 tefachim wide. The Gemara answers that the extra tefach was enough to support a much higher wall. So, when the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a kinyan chazak for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraksin in the first base of Mikdash, but were told the materials were needed to rebuild the camel driver's shul next door, which was being demolished and rebuilt due to the cracks seen in the building, which reminds us, Rav Chisda said, Lalister Inish Beit Kanishna, a person may not demolish a shul, Adabani Beit Kanishna Achariti, until he has built another shul to replace it. Some say this is because of Pshia, negligence, that a new shul may not be built, and some explain it's because of Tzluye, a place for davening in the interim. The Gemara qualifies Rav Chisda's law, Chazibat Yua, if they see cracks in it and it may collapse, they may demolish it and then build another. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you discuss when one is allowed to demolish a shul in order to build a new one? That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number two, which stuff do you have a case of one fencing in the fourth side of his field when his neighbor already fenced in 3 sides? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. Number three, which stuff do you have questions about the tenant's right to move to the lower apartment, such as using the front entrance? That's on Daf Kufiyat Zayin and Bab Mitzia. Good. Number four. Which stuff do we have 5 cases where a wall must be built, one of them being in a garden to protect it from Ayin Hara? That's on Daf Beis. Good. Number six. Which stuff do we learn about Bava Ben Vuta advising Herod to rebuild the base of Mikdash? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. Number seven. Which stuff do we Malkos of who gets the vegetables growing in the vertical space between gardens? That's on Daf Kufnir Ches and Baba Mitzia. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you learn that one reason Baba Ben Vuta could advise Herod is that only a king could rebuild the base of Mikdash? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we discuss the height of the Amatraksin and differences between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni? That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you discuss partners building a wall when dividing their jointly owned chatzer? That's on Daf Beis. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you know that one answer given as to why the partners could not retract when they divided Chatzar She'im Ba Din Chalukah was because each one made a Kenyan Chazaka on his side. That's on Daf Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.